Obviously, being Easter, you kind of have an idea of what's going to be talked about. And the question would be that I'd like to present to you guys is, why was Christ resurrected? What is the reason for it? There are different things as far as what the end result is from his resurrection. But why was he raised up? I mean, millions of people lived and died before Jesus Christ. But the Bible says that he is the firstborn from the dead. Well, why raise up Jesus Christ? Why is he special above all the other people that came before him and died? Why Jesus Christ? So with that said, and that question presented, turn back to Genesis chapter 15. In Genesis 15, go back to Abraham. In Genesis 15, verse 2, you have Abraham and Sarah. And the Lord tells him this in verse 2, Genesis 15, 2. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowel shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said, so shall thy seed be. And he, that's Abram, believed in the Lord, and he, that's God, counted to him for righteousness. And so here you have this guy, Eliezer, who's a slave or a steward, a servant in Abram's house. And he said, Lord, all I have is this one guy. Is this mine heir? This has got to be him. And God said, no, the one that comes from your bowels shall be your heir. He said, not only that, he said, look up at the stars. He said, can you number them? He said, that's how your seed is going to be. And the Bible says that Abram believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So there's something settled there in that Abram believed in the Lord. Now, go to Genesis 21, and there's a lot that went on from Genesis 15 to Genesis 21 that we're skipping, but we don't really need it this morning for the context here. But Genesis 21 says, verse 1, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And so there is the promise. Came from Abram's own bowels through Sarah. And Abraham was about 100 or so years old at this point in time. So that's pretty miraculous right there. And now Abram knows something here, or Abraham knows something here, that this is now his son, Isaac, his only begotten son, Isaac, but yet he knows something more than that. There's going to be children born from Isaac. Why? Because in chapter 15 he said, take a look at the stars. That's how your seed shall be. Well, if this is his only begotten son, then he knows the seed is going to be like the stars out there through Isaac. Now, with that said, go to Genesis 22. Look in Genesis 22. In Genesis 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Now, when it says God did tempt Abraham, the word tempt there means to try or to test. So God is going to test Abraham. He's going to try him here in what he's fixing to tell him. So here comes the test for Abraham. Verse 2. And God said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac. You might want to make note of that part of the verse, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Make note of that. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. They went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abram said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of the heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket, by his horns, and Abraham went, took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Now, it's an interesting story. God's going to tempt Abraham and tells him, take thine son, and he says, thine only son. Now, we know later in Scripture, when Jesus Christ comes in, it says, this is my beloved son. This is God's only son. There's a parallel running here between Abraham and Isaac, and God the Father in Jesus Christ the Son. And so he says, take thy son and you're going to offer him up as a sacrifice to me. And Abraham didn't argue with it. He didn't go, well, God, this is my only son. What are you talking about? I can't offer him up. But Abraham knew something beyond the sacrifice that he was to offer Isaac as. And that is, in Genesis 15, God told him, look at the stars. That's how your seed shall be. So if this is his only son, Isaac is his only son, then Abraham knew something. That if he offered up Isaac and killed him, that God would raise up Isaac. He had to raise up Isaac. Why? So he could have the seed passed on. Because it wasn't coming through another. It was going to only come through Isaac, thine only son. So what did Abraham believe? He believed in the resurrection. He believed in the resurrection. So Abram, you know, we read this story, folks, and we don't consider the individuals that we read about. We don't consider them. We don't realize that they're just more than a character in a book. They're a name on a page. Now, it took him 2 days to get to the point of where they were going to sacrifice him. What do you think Abraham's mindset was at that point in time? As far as he's concerned, that young man, his only son that he dearly loved, was as good as dead. He wasn't going to go to the mountain and debate God about killing him. He wasn't going to hesitate about it. He wasn't going to seek God and go, well, God, I know what you said, but let me seek your counsel again. Maybe there was some misinterpretation there. He wasn't going to rehash it with God. When God said it, he believed in the Lord, and he was going to offer up his son Isaac. So those 2 days was a trail of tears, my friend, you understand. This wasn't going to a picnic. This was going to lose your son. I imagine Abraham was the saddest that had ever been in his life at this point in time. It had to be very difficult. It'd be like walking with your son down the aisle or the hallway to his execution. How would you feel? How would you feel? Particularly if he had never done anything wrong. But Abraham didn't stop. You know, it's interesting. Abraham's at least 100 years old at this point that we're reading. May have been a year or two older, but at least 100. Isaac is about 25. Maybe a little. I don't know the exact age, but there's a huge gap. I find it amazing how Abraham in his old age could have bound up Isaac, his son. I mean, just think about that. Dad's carrying fire and a knife, and you go on to a sacrifice, and the next thing you know, Dad is tying you up. Dad, this winds up on the news at night. I mean, what we got going here? There was no fight by Isaac. I find that amazing. You know what Isaac is like? It's like Jesus Christ going to the cross. Didn't fight it, didn't resist it, and neither did Isaac. And Abram had him tied up on the altar and lifted the knife and was ready to plunge it into his son's heart. And the angel stopped him. In other words, Abraham passed the test. He was tried. He was tested by God to see if he really believed that God would raise up his son Isaac. And he believed. He believed that God would raise him up. Now, what is it to believe? Turn to Romans chapter 4. You know, there's a lot of people today that believe in a lot of different things. There's a lot of people gathering at churches today that believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. But what is it to believe? Look in Romans 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So believe God. But what is it to believe? Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. We'll go to verse 13, Romans 4, verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world, a reference to Abraham, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they, which are of the law, be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. What is it to believe? Faith. Faith. That's what it is to believe. You see, you have a lot of people that just believe in a historical account of Jesus Christ going to the cross and dying and being buried and being raised again. They have a historical belief in it. But when have you ever put your faith in it? That's something different. That's why God was testing Abraham. Do you really believe, Abraham? Let me see if you believe. And so Abraham takes a knife and was ready to show his belief. But the angel of the Lord stopped him. Do you really believe? Do you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because it's not of works which we have done. Because I can tell you, folks, a lot of people today, by the millions, believe in the death of Jesus Christ, the burial of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then in the same breath, the preacher or minister will tell them, you better do this out of the other so God will have mercy on you. But do you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you turned everything over to the Lord? And I'm not talking about your worldly possessions or your sins. I'm talking about a mental thought process where you recognize there's absolutely nothing you can do to be saved except believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That he died for your sins, was buried and raised again the third day. You see, folks, God took his only begotten son and delivered him up. Matter of fact, back there in Isaiah, we don't need to turn to it, but back in Isaiah chapter 53, do you realize that the entirety of the chapter had everything to do with the death of Jesus Christ on the cross? Dying on the cross for our sins? Everything. Well, when Jesus Christ came into this world, he knew the Old Testament scripture. Folks, he knew about Isaiah 53. He knew what Isaiah 53 had to say. He knew that it had to do with his sufferings, the punishment he was going to take, and the fact that he was going to be offered up as a sacrifice before God Almighty. He knew that. But there's something else he knew. Turn to Psalm and look in Psalm 16. Look in the 16th Psalm. In the 16th Psalm, look in verse 8. David is writing about the Lord here. 16th Psalm, verse 8. He said, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. In other words, this all pertains to Jesus Christ, and it has to do with his death or his burial and his soul going down into hell and suffering the pains of hell. But it says he will not suffer the Holy One to see hell. He will not leave him in the grave to see corruption. What is the corruption? It's decay. In other words, there was a promise that God made back in the Psalm here that we just read that basically said that when Jesus Christ died on the cross and was buried, God would raise him up before he decayed. And so Jesus Christ, going through this life here, knew the Old Testament back here, knew Isaiah 53, but he also knew Psalm 16 that we just read there, knowing that he would be delivered up for our offenses, he would be a sacrifice for us, he would die on the cross, and then God would raise him up. Therefore, he went to the cross by faith. Abraham had faith that God would raise up Isaac. Jesus Christ had faith that God the Father would raise him up. And that's exactly what he did. He raised him up. So why raise up Jesus Christ? What's the reason for it? It was the faith of Christ. It was his faith that God raised him up for. In other words, he put his total trust in what God said, which was written back here in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ believed what God said back here, so God was faithful in raising him up. Because I can tell you, if Jesus Christ wasn't willing to be obedient to this, the sacrifice, there never would have been the resurrection. It wouldn't have happened. But he believed the Lord. And the Bible says, according to Paul's writings, that Jesus Christ was raised up. And where is he now? Right hand of God the Father. Read verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life, which is through the resurrection. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Jesus Christ knew where he was headed. When he went to that cross and died there, he knew where he was going. Not only did he go down into hell, but he knew that God would raise him up and set him at his own right hand, eternal in the heavens. And folks, I guess the conclusion to all this is this. When you put your trust, your faith in Jesus Christ, that which Jesus Christ obtained by faith, he gives to you. Let me ask you something. What could you do that when you die, whatever you did, good works, whatever you did could get you up out the grave? Well, God would raise me up. Why? Why would he raise you up? Well, I was a pretty good person. You think God is impressed by pretty good people? The eyes of the Lord upon all of mankind, and he sees there's none that doeth good, no, not one. So where's the pretty good person? If you're going to get up out the grave, it's going to be because you had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Nothing added to it, guys. Nothing added to it. See, there's a lot of people being told about the resurrection of Jesus Christ this morning. You know what they miss? Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, sat at God's right hand. Therefore, we are justified by his faith. Not our own. His faith. His faith got him out the grave. His faith raised him up. His faith set him at God's right hand. It's by his faith we have what we have in Christ. Not our own. I mean, some days I wake up and I feel like, you know what? I got faith I could remove mountains and I trip over a shoe. Why'd I leave that darn shoe there? I thought I had it going good. The fact of the matter is we don't have the faith to please God. Jesus Christ did. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Us being in him that pleases God the Father. So you need to ask yourself something. Have I ever put my trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ? Not just known about it. Put my trust in it. I mean, I was raised in a religious system. I knew good and well about the death of Jesus Christ, the burial and the resurrection. I never questioned it. was just being told kind of on the side of what I need to do to get up there with him. It wasn't until I was shown that there's nothing that I can do to get up there with him, that it's all the Lord's work. And what he did gets me up there with him. And until you come to that point and realize that it's your faith in the faith of Jesus Christ, you always be short of the glory of God. You can always be short of the glory of God. And you know, there are times, and from my perspective, looking out here, I see a lot of you Sunday after Sunday. But there are times I don't doubt, but I'm worried. I get concerned about some of you's salvation. Because there's only one person in here right now that I know that is saved. And that is me. This one. I know that I'm saved. I don't know who else in here is saved. You know what helps out a bunch? A testimony. A testimony. I trusted Jesus Christ in 1980. I came to the realization that there's nothing else I have to do nor can do to be saved. So I trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ and got saved. How about you?
1984, I trusted Jesus Christ after struggling with it for at least 3 or 4 years. I finally came to the end of my ropes and realized what he had done for me, and that was the only way. And I trusted Jesus Christ that night.
There you go. So by your testimony, I know that you're saved. I mean, that's what I have to go by. How about anybody else? Have you ever given your testimony, Don?
September 30th, 1976. 8:30 that night,
the moon
my home. I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ.
Was it a full moon or half moon?
I couldn't tell you.
Hey, that's something to be said that it's locked in like that. You don't have to know the date, but they do.
I wrote it down. That's all I remember.
That's all right. Lisa?
I don't have a DAT, but I know there was a long time. I know where I was sitting in Dump Springs when Elder was preaching, and I saw the truth, and I grabbed it.
Amen. Well, let me get to the goats over here. I was getting worried that we didn't have any. Lisa?
I'm moving to the other side.
Convert them, Lisa.
Well, I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ in August of 1989. After being a Catholic and going to Mormon Church, Church of Christ, and thanks to Don Richard sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with me and letting me know that it was okay to be a sinner, something that I always thought with my family that I had to overcome.
Yeah.
And it was joyous news to know that wasn't it.
Well, that's what the devil would have you think by his teaching, is that you got to overcome the sin and you can't do that. Deb?
A lot of all of us, I was raised a Catholic. And then when I started going with Joe and that out at Denham Springs, and just kept going and on and on. And then when we went up to Winter Park, that was it.
That was it, huh? You had a chilling experience in Winter Park. Trusted the Lord. All right, anybody else? Deb?
I was raised Southern Church, and I got saved at Berean, May 1982.
There you go. You can believe and be lost right here. Chelsea?
Last year.
Oh, amen.
Yeah.
Bonnie?
December of 1975, I was at a Catholic boarding school for 6 years, my senior year. My sister was going to Bible study with Ovid, and through her and Ovid, I saw it, and I was right in the middle of a Catholic school. And I just knew it was simple to me. It made sense.
The simplicity that's in Christ. Susan?
1986, I knew I was lost. I knew I was going to hell. And this man came. And he's been here ever since.
Amen. Deb?
E.C. Moore preached
that. Yeah.
Amen. There you go.
Yeah.
Amen. Anybody else? Yeah, question.
Mine was 1975, the spring, and I was under Ovid's teachings and raised Catholic, which I never agreed with any of that, and it was a relief to see there was nothing that I could.
Anybody else? Yeah, Jim?
You just want to all remember, Nathan, the Armstrong all from that was Nathan.
Okay, Maxine? Easter of 77. Well, okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Mark.
93 is
the Bible time. 93. There you go. Anybody else want to share? Yeah.
Correction. Don didn't share. He pursued. With a vengeance. I listened to him for years and just did what you were talking about. I believe, but I didn't have the faith, and it wasn't until I was pregnant with that I was faced with what the heck am I going to do? You know, and I found myself in a phone booth in the middle of the night trying to call somebody that I hadn't talked to in years, and of course, couldn't get in touch with him. And that was the point where I knew that I was there, and I had no hope if I didn't listen to what he had told me for years. My mother and all of y'all.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Anybody else? Sidney, get it off your chest. This is a rejoicing time. Yes, Steve?
1975 on the foreman office. So I had been searching for a long time, and I had gotten behind some folks with all the water baptism and stuff, and it just wasn't right. And a fellow just said, a friend of mine, come listen to what this guy is. And that was the first time I ever heard about right being divided. And he said, all you got to look understand, die for you and your sin.
Just light went off. Anybody else want to share? Anybody?
Mine.
Yeah, Michael.
A lot like Don. I don't understand. I fought it for years in this church. I was raised Southern Baptist and was still wondering what I had to do. And it wasn't until I experienced the faith of Christ, much like you did this morning, the fulfilling of everything, and then I didn't do anything. I walked out on air that day and then I was friends with the real mother. So,
about it. Anybody else?
I got one.
Yeah, Wayne.
Well, I never gave the elongated version, so I'll try to make it brief. But anyway, I guess 79, 80, I had my life once threatened with a gun, trigger pulled in my face. And then another time, within 6 months of that, and I don't know which came first, I really don't. It's not all that important. But I almost drowned in Florida. Nevertheless, there was a wake-up call there. There was something staring me in the face, and I knew that there was an empty place inside of me that wasn't filled. So I picked up the Good News from Modern Man, which some girl had given to us in Freeport in the early 70s on a beach. So my dad, he kept it. Anyway, that really burdened me, whether it's the right thing to read or not. I really got burdened. But anyway, I told Lisa, I said, we've broken up for a period of time. We got back together, told her, I said, I want to start going to church. She refused to go to the church that I belonged to, which was a Catholic. A long story short, a couple months go by, I get hired on a dial, and I meet Don Reed. Who pursued? And I thank God for it. But anyway, to get down to the nuts and bolts of it, it was at Berean Bible Fellowship in Denham Springs.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Owen was preaching, and that night, I can't even tell you whether it was a Wednesday night, Sunday morning, or whatever. Nonetheless, he showed the gospel of Jesus Christ in a light that clicked on in my head that if I was the only person on this entire earth, Christ would have still died for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never seen anything like that in my entire life. And I trusted Christ that day as my Savior.
Amen.
And I never looked back.
Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Yeah.
Participants were singing God's praises. I remember being in children's church. And, you know, I heard the word over and over, but it was only, you know, a certain age where I could truly comprehend. He was, just so happened, he was teaching children.
Okay, great. Anybody else? Yeah, Bill.
1998.
Anybody else? I'll tell you your account. Anybody? David, was that you? Well, the day is important, not the date. That you know that there was a day that you trusted Jesus Christ. If you remember the date and wrote it down, that's good, but as long as you know there's a day that you trusted in Jesus Christ. All right. Closing out, turn to Galatians, and we'll close here.
We're going to think that day, right?
Okay. Well, you stand corrected. Galatians 3, and we'll close out with this. Just an interesting verse to what we've been talking about, and I'll let you guys go. In Galatians 3, verse 8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. In other words, it was through the resurrection that would have taken place with Isaac had Isaac been killed. Therefore, the good news is that Jesus Christ was raised up from the dead for our justification, meaning we who were guilty are now pronounced innocent by the faith of Jesus Christ and Him alone. It's the best message there is in the world today. If you, I know some of you didn't give an account of your salvation. I know some of you have done it before. But if you don't have a day when you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can do so right here, right now, telling that you put your trust in what Jesus Christ did for you. And I guarantee you, you'll remember that it was Easter of 2010. It'll lock in there and you'll remember it the rest of your life here on this earth. Trust in the Lord. He loved you and gave Himself for you so you could have everlasting life. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer.